Paul Plakas joins us once again. Plakas, how are you?
Feeling good, Gregor.
Nice, nice. Today I want to discuss squats and the variety of squats and how, you know what, the reason I brought it up, I was just at a family event and a little daughter, a little girl there, niece, and she's like 13 months old and it's like a perfect squat. And so like, we can do it, but as we get older and less flexible, it becomes harder. But it is one of the fundamental movements that we should all do, that it helps for strength. I want to start, I guess, just with, you know, the normal back squat, bar over the shoulders, and you go down. Paul, what is the number one mistake people make when they squat with the back squat?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is they use too much weight and they don't go through a full range of motion.
Okay.
So ideally, like, the body is designed to squat like you're that 13-month-old girl. Was that your niece? Or?
Yeah.
So basically, your butt should be almost hitting the floor and your knees up by your rib cage with really good posture, chest pointing straight ahead, head in a neutral position. You know, the people were once afraid, and when I was first in university, we were taught that you should never squat below parallel because it was too hard on the knees, right? Now, I would say in the last, 10 to 15 years, that myth has been debunked, because the knee joint is a hinge joint, and it's designed to go through a full range of motion. Why we don't do that anymore has a lot to do with the chair. We've become accustomed to only sitting at a 90-degree angle at our office desk all the time. So they felt that now, since they notice a lot of people can't bend their knees past a 90-degree angle with good form, without, like, coming onto their toes or their knees collapsing in, that we shouldn't do it anymore. So people have lost the function of actually getting their butt to the floor. You look at countries that don't have chairs, and even look at tribesmen in Africa and stuff like that, sitting around a campfire, their butt is at the floor just like your knees up by the rib cage. It's designed to do that. So I would focus more on working that range of motion with good posture and a lighter load before you add load to your upper back.
Yeah, so a lot of people who say, hey, I squat, for argument's sake, 250,
right,
very few of them are probably going to the proper depth.
Yeah, you might half squat 250.
Yeah, and then if you half squat it, you're really kind of losing what the proper benefit is, right, to build strength?
What the problem is that you don't develop strength in that bottom range of the movement. So if any kind of real life activity or sport where you were forced into that position and you had to come out of it, you would have no power in that strength curve, because your body really develops strength in the manner, in the range that you train it at. So you'll be good from halfway up and above, but the real work is at the lower end. And if you look at the Olympic level athletes in the snatch, clean and jerk and stuff like that, especially the snatch, their butts basically hitting the floor.
Yeah.
And these guys are like 300-400-pound guys, massive legs and stuff like that, and they're right down to the basement. So you're designed to do that.
Now, when you go to the front squat,
yeah,
right, and then you put the bar right on kind of on the front part of your shoulders above. You know, you don't want to go too high because then obviously you can't breathe. Now,
right.
I would say 100% of people front squat less than they back squat.
Absolutely.
What are the mistakes we're making when we're front squatting, so people should avoid?
Well, one of the things you want to just know about the front squat is that now that the load is in front of your spine and your hips, the center of gravity is a lot different. So you basically have a more erect position than in a back squat, and you have to really use the muscles in your back and your abdominals to really stabilize that weight quite a bit. So the key really is to lighten the load for sure, probably the 50% of what you normally would use, and then try to maintain good posture, getting that good range of motion, and just try to settle that bar in the front deltoids near your collarbone. So if you can hold that position, and as you get tired, what's going to happen is your elbows are going to drop, your torso is going to be pulled forward from the weight, you won't be able to stabilize that load as much near the end of the range. That's when you can have risk for injury, where the bar can actually roll off your shoulders into your arms. So you have to just make sure to shut down the exercise where you cannot maintain that good posture and keep your elbows up.
Okay, and now the overhead squat. A lot of people will say that that's maybe one of the best motions that people can do, but I'm assuming it's also one that opens us up to a significantly more injury potential.
Well, if you try to use a lot of load like you do with the other ones, of course you can't use nearly. Well, some people can who are really good at it. It's an exercise where, again, when that weight gets away from the midline of your body, the external forces and the torque to your body is a lot greater. So when you do an overhead squat, that a lot of other things come into play. Now your shoulders are involved and your lats are involved quite a bit. So if you don't have good range of motion in your shoulders so that they can flex backwards, and if your lats are too tight or your chest is too tight for maybe sitting at a desk all day long, that kind of thing, you won't be able to hold the weight over your head with good alignment to in proportion to the rest of your body, so the weight will collapse forward. So I would start off that exercise, and it's a great one to use as a dynamic warm-up. Just use like a broomstick, and then see if can you hold the weight of the broomstick over top of your head with really good posture, where your chest is pointing straight ahead, good neutral position, and getting your butt near the floor. I would say, you know, maybe 10% of the population can do that.
Now, your arm should be straight, correct? Not bent?
Yeah, completely straight. Broomstick over top of your head, butt towards the floor. And kneecaps lined up over the second toe, and your feet can be about shoulder width apart, maybe a little bit wider, and the feet turned out up to about 30 degrees.
And then you start with a wider grip, right? If you go a narrow grip, it's way harder?
It's a little bit harder, yeah. So I would say a wider than shoulder width grip. And then the key there is it integrates the upper body and the lower body together on a stable core. So you don't get that upper body involvement with the front squat and the back squat as much when your arms are fully extended.
Paul Plakas from Custom Fit joins us. So do you recommend the overhead squat more as a dynamic warm-up, to avoid unless you're a really experienced lifter?
Yeah, I would say start with it as a warm-up, and then as you get better at the movement, you can definitely start. Then you can start adding weight to it. And if you are doing movements like Olympic lifting, then you need to be very good at the overhead squat. Like you have to be in the snatch. That's basically what is happening, is it's an overhead squat from the bottom position up. So they have to teach you that. One of the things I would also recommend is for people to eventually get into maybe one-legged squats, and not so much with barbells on your back, because that's a little bit more dangerous, but maybe holding dumbbells. And there, what we do there and get there going on is a lot more stabilization necessary from the knee, ankle, and hip joint to keep that in alignment. So it's really good for integrating all those three joints together. Of course, it's something you want to build up to doing and doing through a good full range of motion, and also a very difficult movement, and you don't need as much load because you're using all of your weight is being transferred just to one leg. So I would incorporate some one-legged stabilization squats into your routine when you can.
One-legged, those are just, the one-legged ones, you're starting just with no weight just to see if you can even balance it?
Pretty well, yeah. If you haven't done them before, unless you're really gifted, you're going to go with one leg. The other leg is just extended in front of you. It's kind of like a pistol squat. That's actually the harder version. You can do variations where you can have one foot on a bench behind you, that kind of thing. And you can even also start just holding on to something and using your arms to help you up a little bit so that you can get the motion. Maybe you're not quite strong enough and you want to just try to get a feel for the exercise. So there's a lot of different variations of a one-legged squat, maybe seeing a trainer and figuring out which one's the best for you, but it's the stabilization effect in all those three joints is way greater than having both feet on the ground. So it's kind of a benefit because a lot of times when you're playing sports, you're often on just one leg and both feet aren't on the ground at the same time, so it's good to incorporate that too.
Paul, as always, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
You got it. Have a good one.